Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Great Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Baruch Shemeach. You know, what the world really needs now in light of the current situation is really a revelation of God's kavod, his glory. A kavod means weightiness, you know, substance, and that's really what the world needs. It's for very practical reason, and we'll get to that, but the Torah is very practical. And in the passages, we're going to look at them very briefly. We're going to see how in each situation, there's a need for God's revelation. A need for the encouragement that comes from God's revelation. So let's dive right in. Let's talk about our Torah passage. Now, of course, this passage occurs right after the golden calf incident. And that was a horrific example of a failure of leadership and just really one of the low points in our people's history. And Moses, of course, is feeling quite insecure. And he says to God, God, listen, if you want me to take these people to the promised land, I need you, and I'll put it in my terms, I need you to back my act. I need you to go with us because I just can't do this without your presence. And the Lord says to him, and I'm quoting, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And then I love this last phrase, and I know your name. That really is pregnant with meaning. I know your name means, Moses, you and I are tight. You have walked with me, and I have walked with you. And because of the relationship that we have and the trust I have in you, I'm going to answer your prayer, and I'm going to meet your need. And he promises to send his angel with Moses, which essentially is the same as saying, I'm going with you. The angel representing, according to many interpreters, God himself expressing himself in that way. But there really is more, and I'm quoting again. Then the Lord said, there is a place near where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will place you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will move your hand and you will see my back, but my face you must not be seen. So again, Moses needs encouragement, and what God shows him is a little bit of his kavod by actually manifesting himself in an observable kind of way. Now again, can't see his face because that would be too much. No one could live to see any kind of fullness of God's self-disclosure, but he does get to see Moses' back. And so there's even more. God does more in that he declares to Moses, his character. This occurs in our parsha as well. And perhaps you'll remember this melody from the High Holidays. Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erek Apayim, Rov Chesed V'Emet. We read that several times, particularly on the High Holidays. And so here, what God does is he passes by Moses, reveals his physical manifestation so as to encourage him as he leads Israel forward, but also declares to Moses in a very, very profound way his character, so Moses really can have the trust and confidence he needs to move ahead. And so translating those words, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness, in truth. Moses had a need. It was a critical hour in his life and in the life of Am Yisrael, and he meets that need by showing Moses his kavod, his glory. Now, let's talk just for a moment about our Haftorah passage, because Israel has a need reflected in this passage too, and that is that we were in captivity in Babylon. Ezekiel is one of the prophets of the captivity, and it was natural for people to wonder, has God forsaken us? When his glory departed from the temple and went north, according to the prophetic vision, was he saying that we're through, we're done, we're stuck here in Babylon, and this is where we're going to stay? But God shows, no, that is not the case. And we have this dramatic vision of the dry bones, where the bones, these skeletons, come together, and sinews and muscle and nerves and flesh come on the bones. And all of it is a dramatic way for God to show Israel through the prophet that he is not through with us, and that we will be regathered in Israel, and there will be a resurrection in Israel. Some people have wondered, does the concept of resurrection have any place in the Tanakh, or is it something that just comes about hundreds of years later? But according to great scholars like John Levinson, who I had the privilege of studying with, the professor from Harvard, he points out that no, the Tanakh has within it the seed of the concept of revelation, and particularly as expressed in this passage, where the bones come together, the dead bodies are resurrected to new life, corporately, all together, as Am Yisrael promised to return to the promised land. And then we have our Besorah passage, and this is so exciting. And that is that in the Besorah passage, in the book of Revelation, our people again had a need. And this case, by our people, I mean principally Am Yisrael, the subset of believers in Yeshua, but by then, lots and lots of non-Jewish people who identified with Israel and identified with Israel's revelation. And so here, the situation is the government-sponsored mistreatment of believers, government-sponsored persecution, and the real need is not only to provide comfort and assurance to people living in the first century who are actually experiencing the Colosseum and all the horrors of government-sponsored persecution, but also the book of Revelation jumps to the end of the age, as so often the prophets do. Without warning, they jump to the end of the age, and they talk about what's going to be happening then. And again, there is what we can call it a government-sponsored persecution of followers of Yeshua. And it was so important that we experience and know about his kavod in light of that reality. And so what do we read? We read about the Lamb. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them. And they were all saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever and ever. In other words, the Lamb is expressed in terms reserved for God himself. What could the implication of that be? But what the idea here is that the Lamb receives authority to take care of all the bad guys, usher in the kingdom, when the Passover Lamb is no longer the one slain, but now comes as the conquering hero who defeats all the forces of darkness. What's so cool about the combination of our passages is that this week represents the revelation of God with Passover and the celebration of Yeshua's resurrection in close proximity together. The point here is that the coronavirus is going to come to an end, but everyone is wondering what good will come from all of this. Where is the kavod? What good will come from all of this? And what complicates the question is that, well, we know that God is always there, but during different times, he can seem hidden. If we use this time, here's the point. If we use this time when we don't have movies to go to, no ball games to go to, no running around, you're stuck at home. If we use this time to focus by reading and praying and meditating, by connecting to other people via the electronic media as we're doing today, then we can gain a deeper sense of God's kavod, his weightiness, his glory, and we will be able to carry something forward wonderful from this episode, this rare, strange episode in world history of being separated through the virus. We can carry forward a sense of his kavod, which will keep us happy, strong through trials, joyful, and having the courage and the confidence to do what God asks us to do, because we realize that he has given us the strength to do whatever we are called to do. So I hope that sounds good to all of you. Chag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom. Please, O Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord, our God, let the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths.
people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. In the mouths of the people, in the mouths of the house of Israel. And may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah. For Messiah